Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Michael Hager, Acting Director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. Again, joining us in our conversation from IBM is Solly Thomas. Mike, given the recent election, can you tell us a little bit about OPM's role and responsibilities during this period of transition? Specifically, what role does OPM play in facilitating the transition between the administrations, and what plans are in place this year to assist this this period?
Albert, transition is an extremely high priority for our president, President Bush. In time of war, it's important that nothing happens to distract the incoming administration, and it's not a time for party politics or antics. This is serious. American citizens depend on government for the most basic of constitutional obligations to protect American security. On day one of the new administration, we've got to ensure that maximum efficiencies of transition have taken place. And our president has been very focused on the very best transition that has ever been recorded in history. OPM is included in a group led by the White House called the Transition Coordinating Council. We're meeting on a regular basis to ensure that this is the smoothest transition possible so that the new administration can begin on day one. I personally participate in that program, one of my favorite programs I participate in, and it's extremely effective, driven to outcomes that are going to be very positive. And we believe will be written in history as the most powerful, effective transition ever been recorded. OPM's role in presidential transition begins early in the election year. For example, in March, OPM notified agencies we were instituting a requirement for OPM pre-appointment review of all competitive service appointments that involve the appointment or conversion of a political appointee. We also reminded agencies of the legal prohibition of giving awards for political appointees during an election year. Now, one of the most important issuances OPM developed was the June issuance of our Presidential Transition Guide to Federal Human Resource Management Matters that contains extensive guidance to agencies and employees on human resources transition issues such as standards of ethical conduct, appointments, and compensation. This year, for the first time, as required by the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, OPM provided a detailed listing of presidentially appointed positions to the Republican and Democrat candidates for president within 15 days of their nominations. Saw to it that we hand carried those encrypted documents into each of their offices. OPM provided the government printing office with the information that resulted in the publication just recently of what we call the Plum Book, which lists all of the policy and supporting positions in the federal government that may be subject to non-competitive appointment. Examples, positions such as agency heads and their immediate subordinates, policy executives, advisors, and aides who report to these officials. OPM will continue to provide to agencies through the CHICO Council that OPM's director chairs, I personally chair that council, with information on appointed authorities applicable to the transition. We will perform background investigations upon agency requests for many political appointees and provide information to agencies on assisting with the departure of current appointees. Again, Albert, a very strong focus for us, outcomes that we think are second absolutely to none, and we're really excited about our footprint in history with the achievement of this transition.
Now, Mike, as you look back upon the numerous initiatives that OPM has undertaken over the past 8 years, In your view, which ones have had the greatest impact on the federal workforce and why?
Well, I'd like to just share a few of those with you. If you will, the most proud to be, the things that we're really not only proud about, but we're excited about their impact of today, tomorrow, and then well into the future. standing up the Department of Homeland Security. We partnered with DHS leadership to consolidate 22 separate organizations, agencies, into one unified department. Prior to that, OPM helped create the Transportation Security Agency, including massive hiring of federal employees that were required to be assembled in a very short period of time. The federal long-term care insurance program was implemented in 2001. Over this time, enrollment in the program has grown to over 200,000 participants. And in 2001, OPM asked Phoebe carriers to provide mental health parity for network benefits and encourage them to use managed care to keep cost increases to a minimum. And following parity implementation, enrollee access to mental health and substance use disorder benefits increase while lowering the actual employee or enrollee out-of-cost or out-of-pocket costs. The FSA Feds program, established in 2003, allows eligible employees to pay for certain medical and dependent care expenses with pre-tax dollars, a great program. It's a few years old. It started in private and is being used in the federal government and is a major, major benefit for all federal employees. There are currently 248,000 participants who may set aside up to $5,000 each year for health care costs. OPM also enrolled rolled out the Federal Employee Dental and Vision Program on December 31st, 2006. Currently, there are 1.6 million federal employees enrolled for dental and vision benefits. The voluntary coverage is for eligible federal employees and the Postal Service employees, retirees, and their eligible family members on an enrollee pay-all basis. In addition to these accomplishments, perhaps the most significant accomplishments have been in regard to the management of human capital. Since back on 9/11, 2001, the federal government has become more attuned to the responsive nature of human resource needs in the face of emergency situations. The government is more prepared to use human resources flexibilities to help federal workforce perform mission-critical functions and provide essential services to the public during the national disasters that we constantly are exposed to, severe weather, pandemic, and other emergencies. The certification of appraisal systems in the SES category has led to lessons learned and considerable improvement in how agencies manage performance. Agencies are much better now at developing measurable standards and aligning standards and plans with the overall organization's strategies and goals. OPM has provided a framework for managing pay-for-performance systems. We've developed biannual federal human capital surveys, performance management systems that focused on goal achievement, and agency have gained more experience in using human capital flexibilities to address critical employee recruitment and retention difficulties, something that today we've talked a lot about that are absolutely critical for our future. Performance metrics at OPM, very proud of some of the metrics that we've created to measure outcomes, and the focus with OPM on robust customer service in our service centers, and again, being attuned to customer needs and expectations and how we perform against those, and our scoreboard in the end zone that we constantly keep our eyes on. And I think that's a change for OPM that will hopefully be carried out for many years to come.
So on that very note, if I can take Sally's question and flip it around a little bit, as you do look to the future and you look at the next administration, which OPM initiatives do you feel are the most critical to continue, and why do you think so?
Incredible number of initiatives that we have underway that I think will be carried well into the future. In perpetuity in some of them, I hope, and that is the Retirement Modernization Program is an incredible program, very complex, massive scale. And again, looking at modernization to eliminate paperwork, provide access of data to a prospective retiree, and the list goes on and on and on. The hiring process, get this hiring process fixed. That is a common, if you will, objective strategy across federal government, whether it be in Congress, whether it be in a VA hospital, whether it be on the line with the Department of Defense, Department of State. I could go on and on and on. How can we improve the hiring process? How can we eliminate backlogs? How can we improve the process of when I have a need for human capital, I get the need and it meets the servicing that I'm held responsible for on a very timely basis, and a quality hire as well. Customer service, OPM, should be looked at one of the same. When you see OPM, I'm hoping at some future date it'll be known as, that's the best customer service the federal government has, an objective that we have, and I think a reality that should most assuredly be there. Performance metrics, measuring outcomes, setting aggressive targets, making sure that the team is focused on it. They know how they're contributing to those performance measures and how they're performing against those performance targets going forward. Conversion to electronic databases versus we have 400 million paper documents stored in a limestone mine up in Pennsylvania. And how can we stop the constant hemorrhaging of creating more and more paper into that operation? By the way, we do have a plan well underway, and we hope that we'll stop all incoming paperwork into that storage operation. Again, focus OPM on the whole issue of customer service, driven by aggressive targets and measuring by performance metrics.
Mike, you've obviously had a tremendous amount of success in your career, and as I mentioned before, you have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm for your job and for your career in public service. So what might you tell someone who's out there who may be thinking about a job in public service, whether it be at a state level or a federal level? What do you tell that individual?
You know, I'm constantly asked that question, and I constantly get the opportunity to share with a single employee or a prospective employee or a group or whatever. This is an incredible resource of job opportunities that the federal government provides. As the largest employer in America, we have the best benefit program that you can think about. I mean, just assess it, look at it, what it contains, and the overall quality of health care, the ability to save, the pension, the dental, the vision. I go on and on and on. And compare it to anything in the private sector, and I think you'll find that it compares very favorably. Promotional opportunities that are enormous. They're as large as your vision, as large as you want it to be. Diversity, allowed to flourish, free from any kind of pressures on the outside. It flourishes within the federal government. The promotional opportunities, again, that an individual can take care of that I just mentioned, that can be driven to interest in the military, interest in space, interest in small business, interest in providing care to our veterans, on and on and on. Training development. You join the federal government with the thought that they are going to invest in me. One of the strongest training development acumens that exists anywhere. The leading edge technology that the federal government has, the ability to apply technology in your mission, in your field, is certainly here with the federal government. Proactive recruitment of, for example, the military into available positions within the federal government. Okay, Albert, Solly, the mission. Most proud to be, most proud to serve our nation, the greatest nation on earth. You absolutely can't beat the mission. And may God bless America. It's great.
That's a wonderful perspective. Thank you very much, Michael. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Sally and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country across the various roles that you've held in the federal government.
Well, Albert, Sally, thank you for this time. It's been a real joy to be able to pull time away from the task that we face on a daily basis. We work hard for the taxpayers. We work hard for our customers of OPM, and we will continue to elevate and raise the bar of performance. I'm delighted to play a small role and so very proud to be part of this federal government. I'm proud that we've created a website that folks on the outside can refer to that gives them detail about what we do and what the federal government does. I'm proud of the staff we have at OPM, the leaders, the many dedicated, committed employees that just give it all every day, day in and day out. And what a wonderful place it is to make a contribution and to work for. Again, I thank you for the time you've allowed me today. I look forward to continuing as long as it's possible to try to raise the bar in performance, raise the awareness, and make as much contribution with our team as humanly possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Michael Hager, Acting Director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. My co-host has been Sally Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.